It is Confirmation Sunday. This morning, 20 of our eighth graders will affirm their baptismal faith as we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to move in them, and as we as church promise to continue to support them on their faith journey. During their 3 years of confirmation instruction, our middle schoolers are empowered to wrestle with Scripture and faith, to get curious, to ask hard questions, and to explore discipleship as a beloved child of God. They do this with myself, with their peers, and probably most importantly, with their small group mentors, faithful adults who show up week after week, often for years, offering wisdom, patience, compassion, and authenticity. These mentors walk closely with our youth, loving them well, and supporting them in awe-inspiring ways. And so I want to take just a moment to give huge thanks for them. If you are a mentor serving in any capacity this year, would you please stand so we can give thanks to God for you? And just because our eighth graders are affirming their faith at the end of middle school doesn't mean that they have all the answers, or that you'll never struggle with Scripture again, or that they fully agree with every aspect of Christian doctrine. It's okay. It simply means that there is something about God's love shown through Jesus that has captured their hearts, and they feel drawn to keep moving toward it. Affirmation of faith is a milestone, not a finish line. Confirmation is not a graduation. Say it with me. Confirmation is not a graduation, but it is an important step on our lifelong journey of faith. And so today, our confirmands take responsibility for continuing that journey, to keep learning and questioning and wondering, and to keep participating in this community that we call church, because we all need each other. You need us, and we need you, all ages, for continued growth and support. Every year, I ask our eighth graders to put words to their faith. And every year, their wisdom and their clarity encourage and astound me. And so with the promise of full anonymity, I weave their faith statements into my sermon. And so today our eighth graders will be doing the preaching. In today's gospel text, Jesus calls his first followers. He knew that building them up began with inviting them to step more deeply into God's presence, to come and see what he was up to, so that they could experience the goodness of God. And several of our confirmands wrote about what it means to them to experience God's presence and love and grace. Here's what they said. One wrote, "Without God, our world doesn't make sense to me. So I have to believe that there is a God who is sympathetic and loving to all, who loves and cares for me no matter what." Another one wrote, "I don't have to be afraid because I know God is with me right by my side. God's presence brings me comfort and peace, and God will be with me no matter what." Another wrote, "Whenever I'm having a hard time, God is there to strengthen me to keep going." One said, "We have a Father that we can run to in times of need. God will always guide you no matter what. God gives me peace when I'm feeling nervous or anxious." Another said, "I trust that God is there for me always, and that I can share my feelings without hesitation." Another, "I believe that there is nothing I can do to make God love me any less than God already does. I believe that Jesus wants me to have an abundant life, which means that I can experience peace and joy even during hard times." Another said, "Even when I mess up, God still forgives me and gives me another chance. And that's really important to me because I know I'm not perfect. I've learned that I don't have to earn God's love." Another said, "I believe in the power of prayer and trust that God hears me, strengthens me, walks with me every day. God continually forgives me and offers me new opportunities to grow in faith. And finally, God loves everyone unconditionally. I feel blessed to receive unconditional love, even when I make big mistakes. When I feel like I've lost myself, I turn to God and I find myself again. I am so grateful that our young people trust that they are deeply and fully loved by God. The world works really hard to tell people that they are unlovable, but if you all can believe already at this age the truth about your worth, the rest will come much more readily. Because there is more, right? The next step in Jesus' call was to invite his followers then into daily discipleship, into a rhythm, a lifestyle of following him and reflecting God's kingdom on earth. Our friends here had a lot to say about that. They had a sense of commitment. They had a beautiful vision of what a life of faith and faithfulness looks like, lived out in today's world. And so here's what a few of them said. One, I will try to follow and trust God and grow in my faith every day. Another, I want to continue my relationship with God. I love this because it's not just a to-do list, right? You're in relationship. Another said, I value God's teachings and creations with all my heart. I respect and listen eagerly for God. One said, faith is an outlet for my problems and my questions. Faith guides my life every day with love and peace and power to overcome my hardships. Another, faith has changed meaning for me many times, but it's always been there. Faith is trust that you're not alone. Belief that things will get better when times are tough, knowing that you're enough. Another said, I believe Jesus was put on earth to show the world that love is what we are meant to do throughout our lives. One said, I believe God supports people of any kind. I believe that everyone should be treated fairly, no matter who they are or what they go by, because that is what Jesus did. And another, I want to live by Jesus' example, loving others, loving the poor, feeding the need, loving God above everything, and loving your neighbors as you love yourself. And one, I strive to show Christ's example by showing kindness, forgiveness, and compassion to others. These last two are a little bit longer, but I think worth reading in their entirety. So here we go. God does not pick favorites, but loves no matter your race, gender, or imperfections. To truly know God, you must reflect God's love in the way you speak, act, and see others. I will continue to reflect that love to all people. There are times when kindness feels difficult, when it's easier to judge, to hold grudges, or to run away from your problems. But faith challenges you to do the opposite. God is not distant, but is there in every act of kindness, every moment of patience, every time of forgiveness. And when I choose love and kindness and hope, I am choosing God. Can you all just preach for me every time, please? And finally, faith is not just something that you have, it's something that you do. For example, some people go and say that they are doing God's work, but in reality, they're really living lives of cruelty, violence, contradiction, and persecution to some groups of people. These people take God's words out of context or just read them, but they don't take the time to think about what they mean. And this doesn't seem very Christ-like to me, and it goes against everything I have learned at Good Shepherd. Jesus was someone who welcomed people, no matter what society thought about them. This is how I strive to put my faith into action. I hope to use my life in Christ to share his blessings with the people around me and make the world look more like the kingdom of heaven every day. Have we heard that phrase somewhere? They're listening. They're watching us, friends. They inspire me and they give me hope. But even as important as the fact that you all are listening, you have something to say. And we need to be listening to you too. We continue to need each other. We cannot do this faith thing alone. And this is why Jesus didn't call one follower. He called a whole host of them. He created community to do this work together and to welcome everyone else into it as they went. And this community is crucial to our discipleship, but it's also crucial to our well-being. And this particular community here at Good Shepherd is a tremendous gift to our young people. Its blessings and its teachings have not been lost on them. Because here is what they said about what this place, you all, mean to them. Church is not only a place of worship, but a place of joy, a place where I can experience community, a place to think and to wonder. Church is a looking glass where I can reflect on myself and make changes, a pathway to faith, and a place where love is above all. Another said, "The fact that we have so many volunteers in worship services is wild to me. There are so many good deeds our community does together in and outside of the church. There are so many people who take a part of their day or week just to help." Another said, "I believe that God has unconditional love for anyone and everyone, and that God wants us to live in community with one another. And in this community, every type of person is welcome, seen, loved, and valued." Friends, you are doing this. Another said, "The community that our church has built is outstanding and super welcoming. It's where I can connect with middle schoolers, high schoolers, and adults and feel like I belong. Where else in the world can you go and have cross-generational relationships just built right in-house for you?" My words, not theirs, but theirs were much better. Another said, so simply but profoundly, "People aren't afraid to be themselves here." That matters. Another said, "This church has taught me and guided me, even in times when I doubted. And I'm glad to be accepted into a community where we all share the same ideals, not the same thoughts, and we all have our own opinions, but we all join together to pray." Again, friends, this is not something that we see in our world today, but it's happening in this space, everyone belonging. And the last one, I want to share a little encouragement to all of you, and especially to you who are parents. I want to let you know every single eighth grader had something shared today, okay? This came from all of you, straight to them, and then back from them to you. And if you are a parent, listen really closely to this one. But if you've also served in any way with our young people, this one's for you. "I remember being little and going to church, and I would have 1,000 questions because none of it made sense to me. Throughout the past 3 years, I've been able to hear stories, opinions, beliefs about God that have made me understand more what it is to be a Christian. My parents have also encouraged and told stories about their faiths and beliefs that have helped me create mine." You all, this community, this place, continues to be a place that invites others to come and see. So thank you. Church, this is not just a day of celebration for our eighth graders. It is for all of you, because we are being who we are called to be for one another. So thank you. We are a gift for growth, mutual support, a sense of belonging, a launching pad for ministry for the sake of the whole world. So I give thanks for you, and I give thanks for you. I'm going to miss seeing you on Wednesday nights in confirmation, but I know I'll see you in Fly. I give you thanks for your faith. I give you thanks for your leadership. And I give you thanks for preaching and bringing the good news to us today. I think I speak for everyone when I say I cannot wait to see where we go next. Let us pray. God, you have called us through your Son, Jesus, into a community of discipleship, into a place that shares your love with the world, and it is happening in this place. We are not perfect, And yet, things are happening. We thank you for your grace and your love and for these young people who are leading us in the faith, even as they are learning from us this mutual gift. We give you thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.